Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Joel kind of mentioned that, you know, there's something that could kind of come up that some of us had a chance to talk about this week. And, you know, I've just been thinking, praying about it, asking the Lord to help. And what the brother just said, I'm particularly mindful of this morning, is we need your spirit to be here to help and to guide this. Because, you know, information alone, teaching is good. There's a place for information, but just dead information alone is not what's going to help people. It's got to be him ministering the faith and the conviction of the truth of what he says. Because we live in a world with all kind of opinions. And if it's just one opinion versus another, well, there's all kind of confusion out there. But when you have a conviction that it's the Word of God and that it's him speaking to us, then there's a power in that to help us. And I believe the Lord wants to help us this morning. So with his help, I'll just start here and just have to ask the Lord to guide this and help and have as he will. But I wanted to start with a scripture in Revelation. If we can just turn to Revelation 12, just to get as a kind of a starting point. You know, the passage here, we've read it many times. It's about the battle that was in heaven and how the, you know, Michael and the angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and he didn't prevail and he was cast out of heaven and, you know, all of that. He was cast down to the earth. But I want to start in verse 13. It says, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And in the context of what he's talking about here, he's basically talking about God's people, the church. You know, he wasn't able to defeat Christ. He thought he had, but of course the cross is where he lost everything and realized he had lost everything. And truly he was cast out for good. But he turned his efforts to pursuing the woman, that is God's people, the church. It says, the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. You know, there was a period of time right at the start of the early church where there was an incredible unity that was going on. God wouldn't let even so much as a hint of hypocrisy get in there with what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. It was before the full-scale persecution had broken out. There was just an unusual time where God was building up and protecting the church. But, of course, that way wasn't going to stay that way forever because God planned to take that out to the whole world. But then it says in verse 15, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So you see, the enemy's approach after the frontal assault failed, he said, well, I've got another tactic. I'm going to spew out of my mouth all kinds of ideas, philosophies, ways of thought, worldviews. And, you know, it says here the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed that. And the earth certainly has swallowed a lot of what the devil has poured out. But the purpose for which he sent it out was not to deceive the world. It was to carry away the woman. Satan wants to send out a flood of contrary ideas, contrary to the word of God. What God, I mean, was that not his very first approach to humanity? Did God really say? I mean, it goes right back to that. That has always been his approach. And to take what God has said, what he has established, what he ordained, and to have different ideas, different opinions, different thoughts. And to with that, to try to carry away us as his people, to get us enwrapped in that and to hinder us from being available to God through those things. So that was, you know, that was his tactic. And I was thinking about the scripture, and you don't have to turn there. It's one we know. But it's in Colossians 2, verse 8, where it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You know, as natural human beings, that's what we tend to do. We tend to just adopt the standards of whatever's around us. What we see, what we're exposed to, what we see in friends, what we see on TV, in the movies, and used to be in magazines, not so much that now, but what you see on social media. You know, all those things. In the absence of a standard of the Word of God, we're just going to adopt whatever we see in whatever culture we live in, and we'll just do whatever everybody else does. That's a pretty normal thing. But the scripture here, what he's saying is, the result of that is being taken captive. If we just adopt what the world thinks about things, do things the world's way, the end result is we end up as captives to that. So that's why God's got that warning to not let that happen. In fact, I found it interesting. He was talking about the difference between Egypt and where they were going. There's a scripture in Leviticus 18 that I looked up where he's talking about as I'm leading you now in this land, you must not follow the practices of the Egyptians where I took you out of, and you must not follow the practices of the Canaanites where I'm taking you to. He's like, you know, neither one of those is the way I want you to live. Instead, he says, you must be very careful to follow my commands. There's a difference. We're a people that's meant to be called out because we're not citizens of this world in the same way that other people are, that people that haven't been born again are. And so, you know, God doesn't want us to be taken captive with that. Instead, let's go to another scripture. You can turn to this one. We know this one well. It's in Romans 12. It's in verse 1 of Romans 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, we can come here on a Sunday and sing songs and lift our hands, play instruments, you know, shake hands, do all the things. But our true worship, or that's only one little aspect of worship. Our real worship is how we live our lives. What are we living? What are we doing day by day? That's true worship, is to honor him with our lives. And so he says, to that end, do not conform to the pattern of this world. As another warning, this is for God's people because this is our natural tendency. So he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect, good, and pleasing will. You know, that's the only way for us to really see God and know what he wants, is to have our mind renewed. This natural mind is by nature is the enemy of God. In fact, one place in the scripture, it says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God, neither can he even know them because they're foolishness unto him. Apart from not even understanding it, we don't even want to understand it because it makes no sense to the natural mind. But God's got a different way of doing things, and that's what he wants to show us. And, you know, earlier this week, like I said, some of us had a chance to talk about some things that God has brought to light, and you know, we need his help to try to address something that's particularly affected the young people right now. But this, you know, affects us all in one way or another. And certainly we've all been there at some point. But it's an area where some right now are compromising, have been compromised by the world's standards on this issue. And specifically on the issue of engaging in sexual activity outside of marriage, outside of how God designed that to be. And, you know, certainly that is a standard that does not exist in the world. It did at one time, at least at a cultural level. And Satan has been very diligent over the past few decades to chisel that away to the point where there is virtually no standard in that regard anymore in a lot of places. But God's standard has never changed. You know, his word is still the same. And, you know, in one way, this is not a unique battle. This is nothing new. Every generation of young people has to deal with this, right? As they begin to age up to the point that they start to leave childhood and enter adulthood, you know, as that process happens, you gain more and more adult privileges, but you also become more and more responsible for things too, right? Like at a certain point, you learn how to drive, right? You start driving. Well, before that, you were always riding with mom and dad or a sibling or something like that. There was always somebody there. They were taking you where you were supposed to be. Nothing could really go too wrong about that because you were just a passenger. What happens now when I can drive? Well, now if I'm supposed to go from point A to B, guess what? I can stop off at point C in between, can't I? You know, there's a greater responsibility now for what do I do with this increased freedom, this increased, you know, privilege? What about when you start working and start making money? Now I can do things I never could do before. I've got money. I can buy something. I can join this, do that. Or, you know, you get to a point where you get to a legal age where you can do things you legally couldn't do. You know, I can sign contracts and get a car and get a credit card and, you know, all the other things. Eventually I can buy alcohol and all these things. As you age, you get more and more of these privileges, but there's more and more responsibility for then what you do with that freedom, you know, and there gets to be more and more consequences with that. And so when that time comes, when that time of life comes, it's where it starts getting put to the test. Okay, I know what mom and dad believe. What do you believe? You know, because they're not standing there over your shoulder day in, day out, every moment saying, do this, doing this, keeping you on the rails. It starts to more and more and more be about what do you believe is true? What do you want? What do you want to live for? And this is where these things start getting put to the test. And, you know, some things recently that God brought it to light, because that's, you know, he's merciful. He does that. In fact, you know, we told our kids things over the years, that things that maybe you've intended to keep hidden that God has brought to light. Well, you know what? That's a good sign. It's a sign that God loves you. He's not letting things just go on and on in the dark, but he's bringing to light so that he can, you know, deliver, so that he can help and teach and grow. And, you know, through some things that have been hinted at, things that have been spoken openly, or things people have seen and heard, you know, I certainly don't know all the details of every situation. Don't need to. I'm responsible for what God has revealed and brings to light, and then we move in faith as best we can with his help. You know, part of the reason God doesn't deal with something always immediately either is he's not just interested in forcing behaviors, right? God's not just interested in getting you to do what he wants you to do, quote unquote. He's interested in the heart. He's trying to change us into his image. And if all he said was, don't do this, and I'm going to punish you and slap you down if you do, and we say, well, I'm scared of that, so I just won't, that doesn't do anything about the heart. What he wants to do is build something from the inside out where there's a desire to honor him because we understand why he says the things that he says. That's what he wants to build. And so there are times when situations may be going on that God lets persist for a while. And somebody might interpret that as, hey, I'm getting away with it. Nothing's happening. Well, there's a space for conviction. There's a space for repentance. But oftentimes there are consequences down the road for the things when we don't walk in his truth. And that's what, with God's help, we just want to kind of look into this word just a little bit this morning. You know, there's a ton of truth, and you could read a million scriptures, and I don't want to do that. But I ask God to help us, to guide us in this morning. And the thing is, it's not even just about people that are directly involved. It's because we have people looking on, right? There are other young people that hear about these things. I did when I was young, when we were the young people. We knew what was going on with certain people. We hear about it. You know it. There are people looking on. There's siblings looking on. There's friends looking on, going, well, is this a big deal? Does this even matter? Does it not? Does God care? Is this some old thing that mattered 100 years ago and now nobody cares today? What's the deal? And there's people looking on that aren't even a part here. You know, there's people from the outside that hear about things. They see things and look on and say, well, you know, do they care? Does it matter? Do they hold up the standard of the Word of God, or is this just we won't address the elephant in the room and let things just go on? You know, that happened in the Corinthian church, right? That Paul had to take him to task for, there's a situation going on that's, you know, having to do with the issue of sex and a sexual relationship that's not proper. And everybody knows about it, and nobody's doing anything about it. You haven't addressed it at all. That's not a good thing. He said, you're not doing good. And the wonderful thing is, if you read over in 2 Corinthians, by addressing that, there's a good evidence that the person involved in that came to repentance. You know, they came to a conviction and a repentance, and God was able to deliver in that situation. And that's what we want. You know, we want to see God be able to deliver and bless and the best, his best for, you know, for all of us. So it's important. You know, that's important, that God wants to make sure that When the enemy tries to make a move, we have to hold up the standard of the Word of God. Not hold up my opinion, because my opinion doesn't matter. Phil's opinion doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we think. I'm not here to tell you my philosophy on life. I just want to say what the Word of God says, what he ordained and why. You know, look at that. Not just what he said, but why he said what he said, and understand the reason behind it. Because that, you know, that's what we need. Not opinion, not human opinion. We need the Word of God. But we want to lift up, you know, his standard. And, you know, especially for some of us that God has put in the position.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.